Welcome back to the Shir in Likutei Tziches. We are learning Volume 13, Chelik Yud Gimel, the second Tzicha for Parashas Maste. It is the Tzicha on Rashi on the Posuk, Chapter 34, Posuk 2, Lamed Dalet, Beis. I would recommend stopping the recording for a moment, looking at the Tzicha and the Rashi on it. On the Pasuk, Tavas B'nei Yisroel, Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, instruct B'nei Yisroel, Yomarto Aleihem, you shall say to them, etc., Dois Ha'oret Ashetipo Lachem B'nachalo, this is the land which will fall in as your inheritance, Eret Kenan legvulois teho, the land of Canaan according to its borders. On that pasuk, Rashi cites the words, Zois ha'oret asher tipo elohem, this is the land which will fall to you, vegoimer, etc. And he explains, Lefi shahar be mitzvot noyagois ba'oret, because many mitzvot apply only in Eretz Yisroel. Ve'ein noyagois b'chutz la'oretz, and do not apply outside Eretz Yisroel, therefore hutrach lichtoiv. Matroni gvulei ruches deho soviv, therefore it was necessary to state what are the borders all around, lo'i maloch, to tell you, mina gvuli malolu ulifnim ha'mitzvois noyagois, that from within these borders, these mitzvahs, which apply in Eretz Yisrael, apply only within these borders. That's the Rashi. So the Rebbe asked three questions on this Rashi. First of all, where did Rashi get it from, in Pshuta Shel Mikro, in the simple sense of the Pasuk, which, after all, that's the domain of Pirush Rashi, that the reason the Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu the borders of Eretz Yisroel at this point, before they've crossed into Eretz Yisroel, is in order that they should know after they crossed into the land and after they fought and conquered the land, that's when the mitzvahs of Eretz Yisroel begin, so they should know at that time where exactly are the borders of the land which contain these mitzvahs. Maybe the reason Hashem is telling them this now is so that they should know which is the land that they were meant to conquer. Whether it's a mitzvah to conquer the land, as the Ramban maintains, Rashi doesn't bring that. Whether it's a mitzvah, it's not a mitzvah, that's certainly meant to conquer the land and to dispossess the inhabitants. So they need to know where is this land which they need to conquer and dispossess. Second of all, why does Rashi use such a wordy expression? Because there are many mitzvahs which apply in Eretz Yisrael, but don't apply outside Eretz Yisroel. Therefore, the Torah records, etc., to tell you which are the gvulim, the borders of Eretz Yisroel, where these mitzvahs apply. That's a very wordy way of saying, because there are certain mitzvahs which apply only in Eretz Yisroel, so we need to know where is Eretz Yisroel. Third of all, since Rashi comes to explain why it was necessary to give the borders of the land, so surely this explanation is important for the word to the explain the word ligvulois teho according to its borders, which is the last word in the pasuk. The end of this phrase, But that the word Ligvula is Teho Rashi does not bring in his Dibra Maskel, in his citation from the Postuk. That seems to be the main thing. You could say that Rashi alluded to it with the word Begoimer, etc., when he cited the word, this is the land which shall fall to you, but it's difficult to understand why he would omit to mention the main word that he's explaining, Ligvulois Teho, according to his borders. So those are the three questions on that Rashi, on that part of the Rashi. Rashi then continues on the word, Tipo Elohem, this is the land which shall fall to you. What is this idea of falling to you? So Rashi explains that because the land was divided by a goydel, by a lot, and when you cast lots, the lot falls. So the expression, Asher Tipo Elohem, it'll fall to you, means that the lot will fall upon this part or that part of the land. That's one explanation. Next, Umedrish Agode, a medrish, and not just a medrish, it's a medrish agode of a legend, a comment that is not the pshat, but a drash, that teaches that HaKadosh Baruch Hu felled, he made fall the Soreihem, the ministers, the heavenly minister, every nation has a minister above, who's responsible for the welfare of that nation here below on earth. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu threw down the ministering angels of those nations from heaven, and he bound them up in front of Moshe, and he said to Moshe, Hashem said to Moshe, see, they no longer have any power, so you're easily able to conquer them. And that's the expression, according to the Medrash Agada, what's this expression of Tipoil, to fall, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made this Tzorim fall in front of Moshe. So it seems that what Rashi is out to explain is the expression tipoil. Why use the word fall in connection with the land? So according to the first explanation of Rashi, it falls in a goydel, in a lot. But we need to understand there are two different ideas going on here. One is the internal division of the land between the different tribes, and that was accomplished by means of a goydel. So there the expression tipoil, it shall fall, makes sense if you're talking about a goydel. But this postulate seems to be relating more to the conquest of the land as a whole, not to its division between the tribes. This is the land of Canaan as a whole. And there was no goydel, there's no lot. So how do you apply Zdois Ha'ores Asher Tipa Lochem, this is the land which shall fall to you, there's no goydel here. Second of all, why does Rashi find it necessary to bring a pirush from Medrash Agode, an Agadic Medrash? What is missing in the understanding of the Pasuk without that Medrash Agode that we now have cleared now that Rashi has brought the Medrash Agode? So the Rebbe explains two general ideas. Number one, the Pasuk is very wordy. It would have been enough to say, this is the land of your inheritance according to its borders. This expression, this is the land which shall fall to you as an inheritance, etc. Why is that necessary at all? So clearly, Rashi understands that since the Torah found it necessary to include those words, this is the land which shall fall to you as an inheritance, there's something more to the postek here than informing us which is the land which they're meant to conquer. It's something to do with Hashem making the land fall into their hands, in other words, without an effort. So we're relating this occupation of the land to something to do with Hashem, meaning that the pasuk is telling us that the importance of knowing exactly what are the borders of the land are relevant about something to do with Hashem. What would that be? That's why Rashi carries on that it has to do with the mitzvahs of the land. So that's one thing that's difficult about the pasuk, the extra phrase, this is the land which shall fall to you as an inheritance. Second of all, why is Hashem telling Moshe, Tav es b'nei Yisroel, instruct b'nei Yisroel? If the point of this information about which are the borders of Eretz Yisroel are merely in order to tell us which land must B'nai Yisroel conquer, B'nai Yisroel as a nation didn't conquer anything. They had an army. The army had officers. Heading all the officers and in charge of all of them was Yehoshua. So, if Hashem wants to tell Moshe what should be the borders, he should say, Tavis Yehoshua, tell Yehoshua that these are the borders of the land. Or tell the officers, the generals of the army, these are the borders of the land, so they'll know what to conquer. Why B'nai Yisroel? Maximum it should be, tell the people who will be the force, the occupying force, these are the borders of the land. Why B'nai Yisroel? Therefore, Rashi says, that it must have been something, this information about the borders of the land is something which is relevant and pertinent to all Yidden. What is that? Aha! It's the mitzvahs of Eretz Yisroel which apply only within these borders. And now we understand why Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu this information at this point. Because all mitzvahs were given through Moshe Rabbeinu, even the mitzvahs which applied in Eretz Yisroel after Moshe Rabbeinu's passing, all of them were given in their details to Moshe Rabbeinu to transmit to the people, as Rashi said at the beginning of Parshas Bahar concerning Shemitah. So since the details of the mitzvahs which apply in Eretz Yisroel, among those details are, where do they apply exactly? What are the borders? Therefore Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu that these are the borders and tell the people that these are the borders. And the Rebbe is implying, it seems, that had it only been relevant to the conquest of Eretz Yisroel, then Hashem could have told Yehoshua when the time came to conquer. Now we understand why Rashi does not cite in his citation from the postek, he doesn't bring the word ligvulois teho. Because Rashi is led to his explanation not by the words ligvulois teho, but by the words dois ta'ores tashetipelochem, this is the land which shall fall to you, as we learned earlier, the first of the two explanations of the Rebbe. Why the postek has to use such a wordy phrase? So that's the word which Rashi brings in his citation, because that's what led Rashi to his explanation. But, says the Rebbe, that's still not good enough. What about the borders of the land across the Yarden, where the two and a half tribes, God, Reuven, and half the tribe of Manasseh, where they settled? Why don't we need to know what their borders are? So Rashi says, in other words, nowhere in the Torah does it say exactly which land which was conquered from Sichon and Oig, the two kings who lived across from Eretz Yisrael, across the Jordan. It tells us that Bnei Yisrael conquered them, and that God and Reuven settled their families and their livestock there. But it doesn't say exactly between where and where. Where are these borders? So it was seen to be that we need to know where those borders are. Likewise for the mitzvahs of Eretz Yisrael, aren't they part of Eretz Yisrael? That's why Rashi emphasizes there are mitzvahs which apply to Eretz Yisrael and don't apply outside Eretz Yisrael. In other words, according to Rashi in Pshuta Shel Mikra, the land across the Yarden was not part of Eretz Yisrael insofar as the mitzvahs which had to be observed in Eretz Yisrael. But that's Rashi's phrase, Ve'eino noya goiz b'chutza la'oret, they don't apply outside Eretz Yisrael, which answers the Rebbe's question earlier, the second question, why Rashi is so wordy, why doesn't he just say, because there are certain mitzvahs that apply in Eretz Yisrael, so we need to know what's Eretz Yisrael. No, Rashi wants to tell us that outside Eretz Yisrael proper, these mitzvahs do not apply. The Rebbe brings in his footnote that according to Halacha, there's a major discussion whether the land across the Yarden did or did not have the status of Eretz Yisrael. That's according to Halacha. But in Pshuta Shel Mikra, Rashi maintains that it's not part of Eretz Yisrael. Based on all the above, we can understand why Rashi continues in his comment on Tipoil Lochem, the land will fall to you, and he explains that because the land was divided by lot, and concerning a lottery, the expression often is Tipoil Hagoyrol, the lot fell on this and this. So now we understand Rashi's explanation. Why Rashi found it necessary to explain anything and what he's explaining. According to what we learned before, what led Rashi to explain that we're dealing with the mitzvahs of Eretz Yisrael, which apply in Eretz Yisrael, and not just with a matter of conquest, is because the words of the Pasuk are, Asher tipoy lachem, it'll fall to you. In other words, Hashem will make it yours effortlessly, like something falling into you. So, which tells us that there's something relevant about the borders, something which relates to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, namely the mitzvahs of Eretz Yisrael. So if so, now the question arises, so why does the Pasuk use the expression Tipoy Lochem? It shall fall to you. On the contrary, the expression would be more appropriate, Tale Lochem, Tokum Lochem, it will rise for you. It will be elevated for you. As Rashi explained in Chumash Bereishis and Parshas Chayis Torah, when it talked about the transaction about Me'orat HaMachpelah, where Avraham Avinu bought the Me'orat HaMachpelah from Ephraim, the Pasuk uses the term Vayokom Sedei Ephraim. The land of Ephraim rose, it was elevated. So surely over here it should be the same. Had we learned that the Pasuk is only telling us the borders in order to know what to conquer. Then we could have understood why the word tipoil, it means it'll fall into your hands. It'll become yours, as we find elsewhere. But since Rashi said no, that the point of the borders being described here is in order to know what are the mitzvahs of Eretz Yisrael, so it would be much more appropriate to use the word tal or tokum, as in fact we have in Chumash Vayikra Pashas Achrei concerning the goyrol which was cast on Yom Kippur between the two goats, where it says, Hasoir Asher Olo Olova Goyrol Hashem, the goat where the lot came up, that it goes to Hashem, and the other one, Azazel, also Asher Olov HaGoydel, the Goydel came up, especially since, if you're dividing Eretz Yisrael, where do you get the division? From what comes up, out of the lot. As Rashi himself says, a little bit earlier, how the lottery was done based on Ruach HaKodesh, Rashi used the term that this portion of Eretz Yisrael came up for this tribe. So why all of a sudden tipoil, it'll fall to you? The Rebbe explains that this is what was bothering Rashi about the first Pirush, that the tipoil is because there was a goydel involved. That doesn't really tell us why choose the word tipoil. Therefore, Rashi brings another pirush, according to which the word tipoil is much more appropriate. And what is that other pirush? The Medrash HaGodeh, that Hashem felled the Sorim, the ministering angels of the nations in Eretz Yisrael. He made them fall before Moshe Rabbeinu. And over there, it's clear. You can't use the word to rise. Dafke, he made them fall before Moshe. So that explains why the word tipoil is used and not tokum or tala to rise up. But that Medrash HaGodeh can't be the only pirush that Rashi brings, because it's much further from the simple reading of the pasuk. And also because the Medrash HaGodeh is saying that Hashem had already made those Sorim fall before Moshe Rabbeinu, the language of the pasuk is that tipoil, it will fall. According to the Medrash HaGodeh, they had already fallen before Moshe. In addition, the word tipoil refers to the land. And according to this Medrash HaGodeh, it doesn't refer to the land, it refers to the Sorim. That's very hard to learn in Pshut Shel Mikra. That's why Rashi brings the first Pirush as a first Pirush. But in order to answer this difficulty of why tipoil and not to rise up, he brings the Medrash HaGodeh. This is the Rebbe's explanation of the Pshut Shel Mikra in the Rashi. From here on, the Rebbe addresses the Yena Shel Torah, the wine of Torah, the Pnimius HaTorah, which is found hidden in the Pirush Rashi. The Rebbe explains that what Rashi is talking about here, when dealing with mitzvahs that apply only in the Oret, in the land, is much broader than just the mitzvahs that apply to Eretz Yisroel, to the physical Eretz Yisroel. The land refers to the neshama's descent to this world. Generally, in Kabbalah, the term Eretz refers to Malchus, the sphere of Malchus, which is Knesset Yisrael, the collective soul of Israel, in Malchus. Now, when this collective soul comes down, when each soul from this collective soul comes down into a human body. So first of all, it's a fall, because it goes from a great height to a very low place, to a pit. The neshama on high was close to Hashem. and enjoyed the radiance of the Shekhinah, whereas here in this world, it is fallen. So, the advantage, however, of this world is that here we have the practical mitzvahs. The practical mitzvahs relate to Hashem's presence, the presence of Atmos Umhus Oirein Toi Baruch Hu, the Eibishter himself, in a way that's far greater than what the Neshama was able to relate to while it was on high. As a matter of fact, the descent of the Neshama into this world is for the sake of an ascent, that by doing the mitzvahs here below, that's how the Neshama is elevated. So on the one hand, it is the fall. On the other hand, it is only in this world where the Neshama can fulfill these mitzvahs and be elevated. The elevation that the Neshama attains is in two ways. Number one, the essence of the Neshama, the core of the Neshama, is revealed, as opposed to when the Neshama was above, it wasn't necessarily revealed. It is the performance of mitzvahs in this world that reveals this aspect of the Neshama. Number two, that the avoda, this service of a yid, is in a way of lamaila mitam vodas, beyond its comprehension. In other words, when it's on high, all a person can relate to is that which he can grasp, understand, perceive of Hashem's presence. But here below, one reaches beyond his understanding. That level of beyond understanding, that is called goyrol. Because goyrol, too, is not a matter of logic and rash reason. There's the reason why you got this and not that. Goyrol means it's a matter of, call it luck, call it constellations. At any rate, it's not the province of reason. And therefore, when the Neshama reaches its own core, that's the goyrol in the Neshama. And when the Neshama is able to serve Hashem in a way that transcends reason, that too is the goyrol in its avodah. And therefore, when the Neshama serves Hashem in a way that's beyond its limitations of reason, and when the Neshama reveals its core through the avodah of practical mitzvahs here below, that makes the land, the Olam Hazeh, a very easy place to conquer, as the Medrash HaGodes says, that the hardships and the obstacles and the difficulties are felled and thrown to the ground in front of the Moshe within each and every one of us. And thereby we're able to conquer and make holy and elevate the entire land, all of Olam Hazeh, all of this physical world.